Okay, so today is Yivamot Daf Kuf Hey. You know, accidentally on Shabbos, I left out 10 lines from the Gemara and Kuf Gimel. I'd like to pick up those 10 lines from Shabbos. So when I just accidentally left them out. So go back to Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph 103a. It's around 20 lines down. Amar Meimar on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph 103a. 15 lines, 20 lines down. Amar Meimar. So Amar, it's in the small Zion. When a person goes through chalitza, he has to press his foot into the ground. In other words, the yavam has to press his foot in the ground. We learned in the Brice, I'm going back to Kuf Gimel. I left out some part of the Gemara on Shabbos. I left out a piece of the Gemara. I just want to go back. So it's on Kuf Gimel Manal, around 20 lines down. It says, the Brice says you could do it when you're standing, seated, or leaning over. So the Gemara figures, if you're leaning over, you're not probably not pressing your foot into the ground. So no, inachinami, he's pressing his foot into the ground under all situations. Now the Gemara says, if a person's foot is deformed in a way, it's hard to understand this. Like in other words, like it sounds like it's flipped over or whatever, but the foot is deformed. You can't do chalitza, meaning he doesn't have a regular. Regular is the foot. So it's me'al raglo, v'chasan l'me'al raglo. So it's a deformed foot. It's not a foot. That's what the Gemara says. So amali ravashi l'me'mar. So ravashi said to me'mar, batani skuchot haraglayim. It says that a person with deformed feet and goes around with like supports on his feet, but he pulls himself along with his arms, he can still do chalitza with those like prosthetic devices, even though he has a deformed foot. Lav de chalitza by you. Is it not that he, the person with the deformed feet, will do chalitza? Lo, diyayiv leila acher b'chalitza. The Gemara says, no, it means that we'll give those shoes or those devices to somebody else, and that other person will do the chalitza with those items. He says, Am Rabashi, l'may de kamar meimar, lav bar uba chalitza, lav bar kipuf chalitza. So this refers to an incident that's mentioned in Moi Katan, with these two individuals. They gave a lot of service to Ravashi, and their feet got flipped over. So maybe one of those people could do chalitza. Now, this machlok could be shown him. So in our Mishnah, we learned that a kiteya could do chalitza with the kava kiteya. So Rashi takes it that if you have a deformed foot, it's worse than not having a foot at all. So if a person's got a deformed foot, so this like it's not raglo, it's not me'al raglo. But if he has no foot, so then he could do it. But other Rishonim, they take it that even the person with no foot cannot do chalitza. That's the way other Rishonim learn. Okay, we're on Kuf Hey now. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Kuf Dalet on the days that I just accidentally left that out. And, you know, nobody mentioned. Somebody said they said it quietly or whatever. They said it, but I didn't catch it. And then what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, so shlichus isn't good by chalitza. In other words, the real answer is, that we, in other words, we know shlichus from certain psukim that I could do it, but not everything is susceptible to shlichus. I mean, look, you see, like I can't put on tefillin with a shliach. I can't appoint a shliach to put on tefillin for me, right? So not everything is not everything. Yeah, the marriage I could do shlichus. That's Gemara learns. We'll have it in kiddushin in the I think in the second parak. Gemara learns it out, but here. The Gemara takes it that I have to look specifically with the limud, but here it's got to be the person himself has to do with the avam himself. All right. So now the let's okay now. So Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. So so in the Mishnah that you did yesterday on Kuf Dalet, the Gemara mentioned a machloket between two tanaim between Reb Lezer. It says in the Mishnah Reb Lazar, but it corrects on the side Reb Lezer between Reb Lezer and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, so in other words, there are three elements with chalitza. You have the psukim, recitation of the psukim, which is done by the avam and by the woman. Then you have the chalitza, removing the shoe. And then you have yarka b'fanam. She has to spit in his presence, not in his face, but in his presence. So which are ma'akev? So according to Tanur Reb Lezer, it says, kacha ye'aseh, kol devar shu ma'aseh ma'akev. Any action is ma'akev. So of the two, the dibur is not considered to be an action. So ma'ase would be spitting and moving the shoe. That's ma'akev. And then Rabbi Akiva says, it says, kacha ye'aseh la'ish. So he says that only the actions with where the man is involved. So the actions of the man involved is just removal of the shoe, of the chalitza. So then the Gemara mentions that it says that around 15 lines from the bottom, one line above the small dalet, Shalkule Lavu de Shmuel, is sent a message to the father of Shmuel, Yavama Shiraka Tachlot, that if Yavama just spat in Bezdin in the presence of the Yavam, so she should still do chalitza. In other words, so she needs to still do chalitza, but Nechval, the Ifsla Lamiachin, the Gemara takes it that nevertheless, she's prohibited to go forward with Yibam, with brother. In other words, once she did the action of spitting, she can no longer go forward with Yibam, but she still needs chalitza. That's the way the Gemara takes it. So the Gemara says, according to whom does that statement go? So the Gemara says, Lechora, it's not like Rabbi Akiva. We think that Rabbi Akiva holds that Rikika is irrelevant in terms of being ma'akev of the mitzvah. So if Rikika is not ma'akev of the mitzvah, we don't think Rikika would lock her in to chalitza. In other words, we just says Rikika would lock her into chalitza. So the Gemara says two lines from the bottom on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, Umi Amar Rabbi Akiva Rikika lo pasla. So did Rabbi Akiva really say that Rikika doesn't passel her, meaning to do Yibam? Did he really say that? Meaning, in other words, we think that Rabbi Akiva, we think right now, he holds that she's, even though she did the spitting, she has a green light to do Yibam, according to the Tana Rabbi Akiva. And now the Gemara is going to prove from Bryce and not this way. The Hatanya, the bottom line on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the Hatanya, please, somebody needs to be muted. All right. Okay, since Vahatanya Chaltza v'lo Rakika, we learn the Braisa, if a woman does chalitza but doesn't spit,
Rakika is spitting,
okay, but please wait for the break, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says Vahatanya, we learn the Braisa, Chaltza v'lo Rakika, she does chalitza but doesn't spit. Below Kara, and she doesn't recite the Pesukim, Chalitza Kshera. So the Talmud Braisa says that the Ikar is just doing the Chalitza. So he does the Chalitza, that's Kishit Yotze, even though she didn't spit and she didn't recite the Pesukim. Rakika, below Chalitza, below Kara, but if she spat, but she didn't do the Chalitza and she didn't read the Pesukim, Chalitza Psula. So it's the Chalitza's Pasol. But the Gemara is going to understand that, but she'll still be blocked off from doing Yibam, which is what we're looking for. Kara below Rakka, below Chalitza, she just read the Pesukim, she didn't spit, she didn't have the shoe, take the shoe off, in Kabbat Nesha. There's nothing to worry about with that, and there was no harm, no foul. She could still go forward and do Yibam. So Mani, according to whom does this Braisa go? Elim and Reb Lezer, if we'll say the Braisa is in conformity with the Tana Reb Lezer, Chalitza below Rakka, below Kara, Chalitza Kshera. So the Tana of the Braisa says, if she does Chalitza, but she didn't spit and she didn't read the Pesukim, nevertheless, she's Yotze, the Chalitza. Well, I'm a Reb Lezer, but Reb Lezer said, and we went over this a moment ago, Tacha Yeyaseh, and then he says, Kol Davar Shehu Ma'aseh Ma'akev. According to the Tana Reb Lezer, any action which is removing the shoe and spitting is Ma'akev. So you're not Yotze, the Mitzvah Chalitza, unless you do the two action ones at least, which is the Chalitza and the Rikika. And here the Tana of the Braisa says that if she just does remove the shoe and doesn't spit, she's Yotze. Elav Shita Rabbi Akiva. So given the choice between Reb Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, it can't be like Reb Lezer, so it must be like the Tana Rabbi Akiva. Bekatani Rakka below Chalitza below Karach Lista Psula. And nevertheless, we read that the Tana says if she spat, but she didn't do Chalitza, she didn't read the Psukim, Chalitza Psula. So the Chalitza is not, she's not Yotze with the Chalitza, but the fact that the Tana says Chalitza Psula, the Gemara is going to learn, it means that she can't go forward and do Yibam anymore. So Laman, so according to whom, why does the Tana teach me that it's Chalitza Psula? Who is she, in other words, the Gemara assumes that she's Pasa, or the Chalitza itself says Psula, but when it says Psula, it says she's Psula to other people. So who, Elaim of the Alma, if we'll say that she's possible to marry other people from the world, that's Peshitta. you have your chalitza, the shvari la'ama. Obviously, she's prohibited because she didn't have a kosher chalitza. She can't go up and marry people. Lo tia'esha made a chusli star. Elav la'achin. The Gemara says, is it not that she'd be prohibited to marry the brothers having done the rikika, right? That's what we're talking, doing the rikika, right? So he says, let me just check. He says, the rikika. So shmamina. So from here we deduce. So they sent a message to the father of Shmuel that Yivama shirakika tachlos. That Yivama does rikika, still needs to do the chalitza, but we understand that she's passel on the brothers. So we thought it couldn't be like Rabbi Akiva. Now it seems like indeed Rabbi Akiva would agree with that. So it could be like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Maishna Rikiko, Maishna Kriya. So now the Gemara understands, though, at this point in time, that it's only a rabbinic requirement. In other words, in Akinami on a Deraisa level, Rabbi Akiva would hold she could still do Yibum. Because Rabbi Akiva says, he says that Kodavashu Masa Be'ish. In other words, the action with the man, which is removing the shoe, that's the key element. But on a Drabbanan level, for reasons that we're going to clarify, Rabbi Akiva holds if she does Rikika, even though she still needs to do the Chalitza, she can no longer go forward with Yibum with one of the brothers. So the Maishna Rikika, Maishna Kriya. So first the Gemara says, what's the difference between Rikika and Kriya? In other words, why is it that we have a rabbinic rule when she does Rikika that she can no longer do Yibum? But when she does Kriya alone, then she could do Yibum. It's like Inkam Beit Mechosh, the Tana Brisa says. She didn't do Chalitza, she didn't do Rikika, but she did do the Kriya. So the Tana Brisa says Inkam Beit Mechosh, something to worry about. It's like Nishka Kefirlach, you don't have to worry about it. So the Gemara says, Maishna Kriya. Kriya de Ita Bein Bechila Bein Besof, Lomachal Palei. So the Gemara says the Kriya, whereas the Kriya Psukim is at the beginning of the Chalitza ceremony, it's also at the end of the Chalitza ceremony. At the beginning of the chalitza ceremony, she says, she says, my brother-in-law doesn't want to take me as a wife. And then at the end, she says, this should be done to the brother that doesn't want to build his brother's house. So the Gemara takes it that, so if I see somebody do the Kriya and then she gets married, so I'll assume it was the Kriya before the Chalitza. In other words, it's a Kriya before a Chalitza, the Kriya after Chalitza. So if I see a woman that just does Kriya, and I don't know all the facts. In this case, she didn't do Chalitza at all. No Chalitza took place. But I just see a Kriya, and then she gets married. I'll think, Mistama, that was the Kriya before the Chalitza, rather. In other words, the Kriya before the Chalitza, and there's nothing. So no harm, no foul. And there was no untoward outcome will occur of it. If she just does the Kriya, I won't think that she did the Chalitza and then got married. I'll think that it was the Kriya before the Chalitza and then fine. He says, Rikika with the Chilaita Lasof Ita, but the Rikika, and there was a normal order of the mitzvah, is Rikika comes after the Chalitza. If you take off the shoe and then she does the Rikika. So he says, Rikika the Chilaita Lasof Ita. So Rikika is only after Chalitza, Mechalfalei, V'akil Mishtei Chalitza L'Achim. So here, if I see a woman that's getting married after Rikika, that even though technically Rabbi Akiva holds it's okay because she never did Chalitza, but if I see a woman getting married after Rikika, so the viewer might think Rikika comes always after the Chalitza. So she did Chalitza, and then she did Rikika, and then she got married with one of the brothers. So I'll think that that even after a Chalitza, you can still do Yibum. That's what I would think. So therefore, there's Gzera D'Rabbanan that if she does Rikika, she can no longer do Yibum. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good?
If this finishes her for Yibum with any of the other brothers as well.
Wait, say again, repeat loudly.
This finishes her with Yibum. Right.
In other words, the purpose of Chalitza is to end the whole connection. That's the purpose of Chalitza. But we're talking about a situation where she did not do everything that should have been done. In other words, she only did Rikika. She only spat. She didn't remove the shoe. And she didn't read the Pesukim. So nevertheless, the Tana Rabbi Akiva holds that she can no longer go forward with Yibam at that point. She has to go forward with Chalitza. Right, with somebody. Okay. All right. Oh. I'm going to move forward. Okay.
With somebody, but not the brothers. Yes, with another
no,
brother.
No, 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 no. Listen, Ruth. We're only talking about the brothers. Chalitza and Yibam is only the brothers. That's the only ones we're talking about. Okay. But she did Rekika. She spat in Bezdin in front, in presence of one of the brothers.
Right.
So on a rabbinic level, on a deraisa level, according to Rabbi Akiva, she could still go forward with Yibam. But on a rabbinic level, the Tana Rabbi Akiva says she can no longer do Yibam, but she has to go forward with Chalitza. Because if we say that she can go forward with Yibam, people will get confused and think that she did the Rekika after the Chalitza, and will think that after Chalitza, you could still do Yibam.
I understand.
Okay. I'm going to go forward now. Okay, don't forget to mute yourself, all right? Okay, what's up? Well, no. In other words, let's slow the roll. Right. So if she's like, you know, she could game the system, you want to say. Yeah, the only thing is, though, that if she does Rekika, she needs to do Chalitza, but if she's being sort of like cutesy-wootsy, he may not want to cooperate with her with a Chalitza at that point in time. She might be caught between a rock and a hard place. And I'm saying, in other words, she's being sort of like smart about it. I'm going to do Rekika, and so that's it. She could be in a worse place because he doesn't want to go forward with the Chalitza, and then she can't go forward with the Yibam. It's not a good situation to be in. But let's see back in the Gemara. Now, okay, so we're around 20 lines down on Kuf Hayim and Aleph. Okay? V'ikah da'amri, others say, Haki Shalchulei. This is the message that they sent to the father of Shmuel. Usually when it says Shalchulei, usually means from Eretz Israel he sent the message. That Yivama spat, so she has to go forward with Chalitza, and Be'ena Shricha LaRok Pam Acheret. There is those words, that she doesn't need to spit again. In other words, if she spits in the presence of one of the brothers, she doesn't have to go forward into the spitting again. So it says, Kiahi, and what's the base here? He says, where's the base? Yeah. Kiahi Yavama da Akil Kamis Rabbi Yami, like this Yavama who came before Rabbi Yami, Kabiati Rabbi Abba Mar Mamal Kame. So Rabbi Abba Mar Mamal is sitting before Rabbi Yami. In other words, Rabbi Yami is the Rebbe and Rabbi Abba Mar Mamal is the Talmud. Rakakami Kame the Taklos. So she spat before doing Chalitza. So normally you do the Chalitza and then you do the spitting. She spat before the Chalitza. So Amali Rabbi Yami, Chalots Lav Ashari Lav. So Rabbi Yami said to the Yavam, do Chalitza for her and let her go. In other words, let's wrap it up. So it's out of water, but go ahead, let's do it. This is Bashari La Tigra. In other words, let's be done with this whole matter. So Amali Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba, who was sitting before him, he says, Bahaba Inan, Meirach. He says, but she has to spit. In other words, he's supposed to do the Chalitza and then the spitting. So he says, Harak Kala, she spat already. But Terakum Abakas, so let her spit again. Like Mishka Farlak, let her spit again. We'll get everything in order. So he said, no, we don't want her to spit again. So if we let her spit again, it's going to lead to problems. If you're going to say, in other words, she spat, then she does the Chalitza, and then we're going to say spit again. It says, so then people will think the first Rekika before the Chalitza is insignificant, has no halakhic implications. So then, now we learned before on a Drabbanan level, once you do Rekika, you can't go forward with Yibam. But people seeing this will think, I can go forward with Yibam. And then other people will come to assume that if I could go, that even where she does the Chalitza after the Rekika, I could still go forward with Yibam. That's what people will think. In other words, the Rekika is essential, they'll think. And even though the Rekika and the Chalitza, you can still go forward with Yibam, and that's really on a derisive level. At that point, you can't. He says, "Va'ati l'mishre chalutza la'achim," and then they'll come to be matir a chalutza to the brothers. So the Gemara says, "Va'habayin kisidran," so or else Rabbi Abba said, but the Gemara says you need it to be kisader. The seder is chalutza and then rekika. He says, "Kisidran lo ma'akva." So this is what Rabbi Abba says, that the seder is not ma'akve. You're right; it's out of water. But we're going to leave it alone. We're going to do the Rekika, and then we're going to do the Chalitza. So the Gemara says, "Husavar dechui kamad chilei." So he, Rabbi Abba, who was the Makshin, he thought the Rabbi Yami is just like, you know, pushing him away when he says the Seder doesn't matter. He says, "Nafak dach ba'ashka." So he went out and he investigated. the Tanya, and he found a Braisa, the Ashkach, the Tanya, Bein Shiktim Chalitza Rekika, Bein Shiktim Rekika LeChalitza, Masha Asa Asui. He saw Braisa, this is Mefurash, that whether the Rekika is before the Chalitza, or the Rekika takes place after the Chalitza, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Everybody good? What? Wait, say again. No. That's not what we said. We said according to Rabbi Akiva, if you do the Rekika, we said that you can no longer do Yibam and you must go forward and do Chalitza. All right? Okay? Okay, so I'm going to move forward. Was irrelevant. And then things are going to devolve from there. No. In other words, as a result of that, so people will think, let's say if I spit alone, that I can do Yibam. And then other people will come to conclude that even if I do the spitting and the Chalitza, it's still irrelevant unless I do the Rekika after the Chalitza. And they'll come to be Matir, a woman who did Chalitza, and she's really a Chalutza, and permitted to do Yibam. Yeah, but we're talking about people observing and concluding in their own mind, you know, a different halacha than the halacha is. So if I see that the Rekika is repeated, I'll think the first Rekika is irrelevant. And then I'll come to assume that Rekika before Chalitza is irrelevant. And then, so that's one stage. So I'll think Rekika before Chalitza is irrelevant. So if I do the Rekika and then the Chalitza, I'll come to assume that I can even go forward and do Yibam. All right, what? That would be Daraisa. Okay, now, let's see back in the Gemara. So, in other words, there's two stages. In other words, the first stage is people will assume that the Rekika by itself will mean nothing because it was done before the Chalitza, and then they'll come to be Matir that to do Yibam, and then other people will come to assume that even the Rekika and then the Chalitza means nothing. Okay, now, say again who what? Well, that's the way the Masipta Gemara had it. He says, let me read what he says. Okay, let's see. Okay, 17. If we require the woman to spit again after she removes it, some people think her spitting before the removal of the shoe was meaningless, right? And the das qualify for me with the brothers. That's the first stage. This then could lead, second stage, to permitting the Yibam to proceed with Yibam in such a case, which would undermine the decree the Gemara just discussed. All right, he only has the first stage here, yeah. But in the Masipta Gemara, they had But you see, that doesn't really explain the Gemara, because the Gemara says here, you see, the Gemara says, Va'ati l'mishrei chalutza la'achim, will come to permit a chalutza, so that doesn't explain how they're going to permit the chalutza. All right, now, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're up to around 10 lines above where it gets what? On Kuf Hayim and Aleph, okay? So Levi nafak l'kiryata, Levi went out to, like, the villages, and they quoted in the article, they said that in the Ein Yaakov, they quote from the Yerushalmi that Levi was like a proba, that like he was being considered for Rabbanus. So he went out to the Kiryata and they're asking him questions like as part of the proba. It says, Levi nafak l'kiryata, bom mina, gidemet mal shtachlo. So they ask him several questions. The first question is, if a woman is gidemet, her arms are amputated, can she do chalitza with her teeth? Is that good? Does she not do with the hands? Yivama shirak kadam mahu. What if she spits out, instead of saliva, she spits out blood? And then what's the pshat in the following pasuk? This is in Daniel. I will tell you that was written in the true ksav. In other words, Daniel has a vision. He's a Navi. And he sees the Malach. And the Malach is saying, I'm going to tell you what was written in Shemayim in the true ksav. And so the Gemara says, Mechlad ksav she'ena wemet. That sounds like there's a false ksav. So but in Shemayim, what is there, a false ksav in Shemayim? So the Hava Biyadeh. So the probe is not going so well. Levi didn't have the answer to any of the questions. Atzushal Bei Medrasha. He went to ask in the base medrash. I told you, it's always a good place to go when you don't know something. Go to the base medrash. So Amrulei Nikti V'chaltsa Biyad. So they said, it doesn't say V'chaltsa Biyad, that she's quickly to her hand. Say Nachinami, if she has no hands, she can do chalitza with the teeth. Mikti v'yar kavrot doesn't say she has to spit spittle. So those two answers they were able to answer. Now the third is with the pasuk. Aval agilach harishum b'ktav emet, v'chi yesh tav sheinu emet. That was the question. Lokasha. Kam gzardin sheishi moshua. Kam gzardin sheini moshua. In other words, if it's a gzardin, a decree in heaven that was accompanied by a shua, a kadosh baruch hu made a shua, so then that's ksav emes because it's definitely going to happen. But if there was a decree that's not accompanied by a shua, so may change. So it's not ksav emes. It says kidrav shua bar ami. The amar of shua bar ami, the first medium white line. The amar of shua bar ami, amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonatan. How do we know if it's a gzar din shemayim that's accompanied by shua, will never get ripped up? So this had to do with Eli was the Kohen Gadol, and right, he had bad sons, Chafti and Pinchas, and Chafti and Pinchas were, you know, did bad things, and they delayed the women from going home, and the Chazal, but like the Pasuk says, as if they had relations with the women because their avir was so bad. And anyway, so Hashem says, "Say nishbat to the Beit Eli." Hashem saying, "I'm giving a shua to Beit Eli, household of Eli, and be kaper avon Beit Eli b'zevach v'mincha ad olam. If their transgression will be atoned for with the zevach v'mincha ad olam, meaning with the zevach v'mincha won't be atoned for. In other words, you're in gahak tzuris. So I'm a rabba. Rabba says b'zevach v'mincha. So that's the point." Then when that's the klala. So that klala is there. So that's the ksav emes. That's like zardin that ainu mitkareya because it was accompanied by a shua. Now Amar Rabba, the zevach b'mincha ainu mitkaper. So Rabba says, well, the zevach means a sacrifice, and a mincha is a meal offering. It's ainu mitkaper. It won't be atonement, but mitkaper with divrei Torah. It could have kapar with words of Torah. So Abayi Mar b'zevach b'mincha ainu mitkaper, but mitkaper with milchas chasadim. Abayi says, with milas masanim, like doing acts of chesed, it'll be atoned for. So Rabba Abaye, now Rabba and Abaye, we just quoted, so the Gemara says, Rabba Abaye be debate Eli Kohen. They both were descendants of Eli HaKohen, Rabba and Abaye. And Abaye was Rabba's nephew. Rabba da asak Torah chai arv and shnin. So the klala was that they're going to die when they're young. But Rabba, who toiled in Torah, he lived to age 40. Abaye da asak Torah b'gul chasadim chaya shit and shnim. And Abaye, he was osek in Torah, and with asak gemilas chesed, he lived to age 60. So that was a way out of it. In other words, the shvu was fulfilled. In other words, you won't have atonement with zevach mincha, but there are other ways around it. Now let me finish this again, and I'll try to come back. Yeah, well, let me do another 10 lines, and I'll come back. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Mishpacha Chalaita B'Yerushalayim, Shumeitim Ben Shmon Esrei Shana. There was one family in Yerushalayim, the men would die at age 18. I guess they procreated at an early age. So Bavo Hodiu at Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So they told Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Amar Lehem Shem Mishpachat Eli Atem, Shnemar B'Kom Arbit Beit Cha Yimutu Anashim, that all the adults in your family will marry, like, when they're young. He says, L'chuvus Kuba Torah B'Tethiu, go and occupy yourselves with the study of Torah and you'll live. So they did that, and they lived. They named the whole family after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. How do we know that the Gzardin, the decree against the Tzibur, against the community, is never sealed? Never sealed. The Sukkah Yirmiyah says, even if you wash with soap and detergent, he says, like the stain of your avera is in front of me, meaning it's sticking around here. Ella, in this way, but a tzibur, I assume. Ella minayin shapilu neftam et kareya. How do I know that even if it's been sealed, it's still susceptible to being ripped up? Shenemar ki mi kashem okin b'kol kareinu elav. Who's like Hashem God in all whenever we call him? So meaning we can always call to him and change things. V'haktiv d'rshua Hashem b'himatzah. But the Gemara says another pasuk, seek God when he's to be found. The other first pasuk is Bechol Kareinu, whenever we call him. This sounds like only when he's to be found. Lo kasha, there's no contradiction between the psukim, habiyachid abit tzibur. Last pasuk, Yeshua Shem Yimatzo, which we lay on a tanit tzibur. So that's the yachid. But the mika Shem Alkin Bechol Kareinu, the tzibur, is Shem is always susceptible to the tfilot. Yachid eimad, so when is the appropriate propitious time for the yachid? Amr of Nachman, Amr of Vua, Elu Asar Yamin Shemim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. During a service you made tshuva, the Mela, that's the appropriate time even for the Yachid to do things. So Shachalei Lavu to Shmuel, they sent a message to the father Shmuel, he seems to be Yivama Shirak Kadam, if Yivama spat blood, Tachlots. So she at that point, she has to go forward with Chalitza, meaning that the Rekika is a good Rekika, which is what we said before. He says, Lefisha Eif Shaladam Lotzitzuk Rok, because even if she's spitting out blood, there has to be some small, you know, element of saliva in it. So Meifei, so this way, now there's a question that Rishonim ask, why wouldn't there be betel? In other words, if 90% of it is blood, or 95% is blood and 5% is saliva, why don't I say that there's betel and the saliva doesn't count? So there's a couple of answers that he gives, but say again what?
Yeah.
That I didn't see that. But if one answer is that if it's still identifiable, and it was, I look at it and I see here's the saliva, here's the blood, so there's no betel. And when we talk about betels, I can't see the ester that's in there. Here where I could see each element, then it wouldn't be. In other words, he's assuming that the blood is that the separate from the saliva. Or, this is from the Mordechai, or he says that betel only applies to substances that were initially separate prior to being mixed together. Substance that was never isolated was always mixed with another substance from its inception, such as saliva, which immediately mixed with the blood in the mouth, does not become batel. So if it was mixed from the get-go, it also doesn't become batel. He's got another answer, but I've got to finish with the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says two lines from the bottom. Meitbei, so this we ask Kasha from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, this is talking about a Zav. Now, a Zav is Tamei, and all his fluids are Tamei. It means his spit is Tamei, his urine is Tamei, his semen is Tamei, his ziva is Tamei. So he says, Meitbei, Yechol Yehei Dama Yotzei Pi, Vum Pi Ha'ama Tamei. I might think that the blood that comes from his mouth or from his genitals would also be Tamei, just like all the other body fluids. Tamalomar Zovo Tamei, like his zov is tamei, vein dami yosim pi even pia ama tamei el tahor. So the point is, the blood is tahor, but if we said that the rope is definitely tamei, so the rope, if we just said rope, there's always that must have a little bit of rope with the blood. That's what we just said. And when she spits, there must be some saliva mixed in with the blood if she's got blood, you know, coming in her mouth. But if that's the case, so what the zav emits should also be tamei because it has some saliva in it. His saliva is definitely tamei. So look, Kash, there's no contradiction. So when we talk about the woman doing rikika, like, you know, before you spit, like you suck up all the spit in there, you know. So then you're gonna have the saliva in it. But the other braisa that we just quoted is talking about it's just like coming out on its own. So then not necessarily that there's any saliva in it. Okay, let's do questions, comments, thoughts quickly. What do you had any questions before? About Beis Eli?
Yeah, but originally, Abaye said, he knows how to do a long time. But then he also did Torah. And
right. So it means that he it doesn't have to be that he's soter what Rabbi said. He's Mekabel. Yeah, he's adding to it. But there's a Chavetz Chaim, which he quotes here, and Rav Simon has quoted this as well. So the Chavetz Chaim says in Ava Chesed. So he says like this, Rabbi felt that if you're studying Torah, I shouldn't, and there are other people to do the acts of Chesed, so I shouldn't be mabat on my Torah to do acts of Chesed. In other words, the Torah is more important than doing, other people could do the acts of Chesed, so it's more important that I should study the Torah, because Talmud Torah can egg kulam. That was Rabbi Shita. But Abaye felt that it's worthwhile to do the in Achinami normally that way, but it's worthwhile to do the chesed because the chesed will prompt other people to do the acts of chesed. If I'm involved with a chesed fund or something like that, so other people will give money, other people will do things. And so Abaye felt that was, you know, more important under these circumstances to be involved with chesed. So the Chafetz Chaim says that it seems like the halacha is like Abaye. You see, like Abaye, he lived 60 years. So it tells you like about the importance of, you know, being involved with chesed. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a shvua.
Yeah.
Look at the Gemara on line two in our Gemara, the second wide line, Lachin Ishbat to the Beit Eli. That's it. I don't know. You look in Tanakh. Go through Tanakh and let me know. Okay. What? Yeah. No. In other words, once Chalitz is done, then she can't do forward Yibam with anybody. In other words, the Yibam is over with. No, once there's Chalitza, you can't marry. That's married. That's an erva. In other words, that would be her husband's brother. In other words, her husband's brother. So you can't marry your husband's brother unless the Yibam situations either big mitzvah or big avera. Okay, Aaron Moshe, quickly, what do you got? Aaron Moshe.
No, I was just gonna say that there's a vote from Reb Chaim Brisk that if you're the only one that's there to do the chesed and you don't do it, even though you're sitting by the Gemara, that Gemara is closed for you.
Okay, it's similar.
If you don't do chesed, that Gemara is still open for you. It's as if you're learning.
Okay. I got to run forward, and please hold off with the questions because we're running behind schedule. Okay. So now we're at the bottom line on Kupay and Aleph. Okay, Cheresh Nechvatz v'Chulei. This goes back to the Mishnah that you did yesterday. So the Mishnah, among the other things, says that. One second, yeah. So if the Yavam was a katan, it's a chalitza psula. If the Yavam was a katan below bar mitzvah, it's a chalitza psula. And it means that he doesn't have simanim yet. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Yudim Arav, Zudibri Rameir, that's the... So wait. Chalitza ben... No. I left that one thing. So the Tana Mishnah says that it's Chalitza Psula, but it means that she can't go forward and now do Yibam anymore. Having done it with the Katan, she can't do Yibam anymore. So in other words, like Psula means, like I left out the Rashi earlier. So if you look at the Rashi in Kuf Hayim and Aleph, so in the first hour line in Kuf Hayim and Aleph and Rashi, Chalitza Psula, Psulu Posela Ra'achin. So when it says Psula, it means she's Pasul to the brothers at that point in time. The Yavam is a katan. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yudah Rav, Zudibri Rav Meir. So our Mishnah reflects the opinion of the Tana Rav Meir. And Rav Meir says, Asu Chalitza ben Teisha kiget begadol. He said that the Chalitza of a 9-year-old, they treat like a get with a gadol. It means it's like once he does the Chalitza, it's enough to poison the pool. In other words, he can't go forward and do Yibam anymore, even though you have to do the Chalitza. But he's about Chachamim Omrim in Chalitza Katan Klum. The Chachamim holds it's a nullity. So if a 9-year-old does Chalitza with you, you could do Yibam, you could do whatever you want because it was nothing. Okay, now, Tana Shechalitza V'chulei, then the other side of the equation, we said if a Katana, if the widow was a Katana, so it means she could have been married on Deraisa level. Her father married her off to Reuven. Then Reuven dies. So she's married on a Deraisa level. But now, if she does chalitza, so she should do chalitza when she gets older. So it's still chalitza psula. So now the Gemara says, so that reflects Rav Meir. So it says ish in the parsha of the Yavama. He says, what is the pasuk? Oh, bim loich posa ish lakachet ibim to. So Yosef, help me out. So he says, "Ish k'tuba parsha u'mashin ani isha l'ish," and we make a hekesh in between the woman and the man. So he says, in other words, just like the man means an adult, so the isha also has to be an adult. About chachamim omrim, ish k'tuba parsha, that it says ish, so the man has to be an adult, but isha ben gedola ben katana. But the chachamim hold the woman can even be a katana, and he can still do chalitza with the katana. So man chachamim, who are the chachamim who hold that a chalitza can even be done with a katana? Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara is going to go into a whole story about it. It's going to come out from the end of the story that Rabbi Yossi holds you can do chalitza with a katana. The Rabbi Chiyah and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, Abu Yatvi, so Rabbi Chiyah and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, and Rabbi's son, were sitting down. Patachami Naiva Amar. So one of them began speaking, and this is something that does not relate to Yibam. Hamid Palos Rishi Teni Nav Lamata, that a person who's davening literally means he has to look downward when he's davening, but it means that he's focused on his tefillah going through to the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Shenemar v'yuei naivli bisham kol emim. The Kaddish Baruch Hu says that my Shekhinah never leaves the Makom HaMikdash. My eyes, my heart are there all the time. One says his eyes are up. So literally means like to look up, but it means in his mind, he's thinking of Shemayim. That's what he's thinking. Shinemar Nisala Veinu El Kapayim. We'll lift up our hearts to our hands. Our hands are lifted up in tefillah, and we'll lift up our hearts there as well. So we have machloka between both of them. Am I thinking about, you know, standing in the base of Mekdash, or am I thinking about, you know, being in Shemayim when I'm davening? So while they're having this conversation, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. So we're interested in Rabbi Yossi, his father. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi joins them. Amar lehu b'may askitu. So what are you osekin? You know, what's the conversation about? So amrulei b'tfila. We're talking about tefila. So amar lehu kakamar abba. This is what my dad, Rabbi Yossi, said. Amin pa'el srichitin einav lamata blibo lamala. He has to, his eyes down below, his heart above. They should kaimu shnei mikor lo to fulfill both psukim. So the post can bring down that well, it's not. In other words, like in the notes of Kalim Shilcharach, I remember reading, in other words, not recently, but I remember seeing, in other words, you should think like you're standing in the base of Mikdash before the Mizbeach, and you should also think of like Ein Sof, which is like you're in Shemayim. In other words, both of those thoughts you should have when you're davening. So it means both you psukim have to be fulfilled. Anyway, Adahachi Atu Rebbe Lamatif. So while this conversation is going on, Rebbe comes to the yeshiva. Now, one of the chachamim was Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon's father comes. So Inu Dahabu Klili Ya Tivu Beduktayu. So the other one's very thin. They were able to move quickly and they sat down on the spot because Rebbe arrived. Rishob Rabbi Yossi Agav Yukrei Have a Mefasei Va Aziel. Rishob Rabbi Yossi was heavier and so he went more slowly to his makom. So Amarle Abdon. So Abdon says to Rishob Rabbi Yossi, Miuzeh Shemafsiel Rashi Am Kadosh. He says, you know, what a chutzpah, like you're stepping over everybody. Everybody's sitting on the floor, you're stepping over everybody. Is it not Derech Eretz? So Amarlei, so he says, who's the one who's doing this? So Amarlei, Ani Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, Shabbat Lamot Torah Me Rabbi. I'm Rishob Rabbi Yossi, I'm trying to study Torah from Rabbi. Now it's going to come out from the story, Rishob Rabbi Yossi is going to even teach something, you know, so he's chashuv, in other words. So he says, are you qualified to study Torah from Rebbe? Meaning, the way the Marsha says it, that you exhibit such a lack of derech eretz by stepping over people. So I don't think you're like, you know, kedai to study Torah from Rebbe. They sat that way. But in other words, let's say the whole room is filled with people who are sitting. And then I step over everybody to go to a makom in the front of the room. So that's not like derech eretz. You know what I'm saying? No, so he could say at the end. Okay. Okay, now he says, are you qualified to study Torah from Rebbe? So was Moshe Rabbeinu qualified to study Torah from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, he kept everybody standing while he was judging the case. So also he's exhibiting like sort of like a lie. So he says, Amalei v'chi Moshe ata. So he says, are you Moshe? Amalei v'chi Rabcha lo kimhu. So is your Rebbe Ribono Shel Olam? So Amar Rabbi Yosei, Shakle Rebbe l'mitripsei. So he means Rebbe, in other words, when he said that, not that last statement. He calls him, he says, the key is that he said, no, he says, where is it? With Rabbah, he says. Yibchi Rabbah Elokim. Is your Rebbe like the Ribono Shel Olam? So that, like, he didn't say Rebbe like, you know, like our Rebbe, you know, like that. He says, your Rebbe. So he says, so Amar Rabbi Yosef, Shakli Rebbe Lemitrib saying, so Rebbe got his sort of like just desserts, the Kamale Rabbah below Rebbe. He says, in other words, that, in other words, the point being that Rebbe didn't intervene when he heard, like, you know, Avdon speaking this way to Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, so he got it, like, Min HaShemayim, it works at the end, that he hears that it's like Rabbah, not Rebbe. So, Adahati Ati Yavama Lekamei to Rebbe. So, while all this is going on, Yavama walks in front of Rebbe. We're getting close to where we need to be. Amalei Rebbe La Avdon, so Rebbe says to Avdon, now remember, our issue was Rebbe Yossi said that even a katana could do chalitza. And that's it. So he says, Amalei Rebbe Lavdan put Batka. So Rebbe says to Avdan, go examine her to see is she Gedola, if you have like Tisaro. So the Batka Denafak, after Avdan left, Amarli Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel said, Kach Amar Abba, this is what my father Rabbi Yossi said. And here you see, like, he's like, you know, teaching Rabbi. He says, Ish Ketuba Parsha, Abel Isha Ben Gedol Ben Ketana. That only mentions an Ish in the Parsha, but an Isha, according to Rabbi Yossi, Ben Ketana. So Amarli, Talot Tzricha. So Rabbi calls after Avdan, come back. He says, you don't have to examine her anymore. Kvahura Zakein. Because the Zakein, Rabbi Yossi, has already made the ruling on this. No. This Yavama came before Rabbi, and she wanted to do Chalitza. So Rabbi said to Avdan, examine her to see if she's a Gedola. So then Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, my dad doesn't make a difference. Then Rebbe calls after Avdan, come back. We're fine the way we are. So, no. But she didn't do it at all here. Yeah, but no, it's fine. Okay, now. So he says, now, kamapasea Avdan ba'ati. So now Avdan is coming back to the base Medrash, and Avdan is stepping over everybody, which he had accused Rebbe Shmuel Rabbi Yossi doing. Says Amarli Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Mish Tzrich Lo Am Kadosh Yifsal Rashayam Kadosh, Mish Ain Tzrich Lo Am Kadosh Yifsal Rashayam Kadosh. If the whole Kila needs you, you're allowed to step over everybody. But if everybody doesn't need you, you're not allowed to step over everybody. So Amarli Rabbi La Avdan. So Rabbi says to Avdan, Kum Beduchtich, stay in your spot. In other words, like, don't come in. He says, okay, Tana. So a Tana taught, but Otasha'a Litzareya Avdan. At that time, Avdan became a mitzora, and because that was his punishment for speaking disparagingly to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, v'tavushnei banav, and both of his sons drowned, u'mi'anushnei kalotav, and both of his daughters-in-law did miyun. So Amr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, brich rachmana v'chasvei la'avdan b'hayalma. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, you know, Baruch Hashem, that he embarrassed Avdan in this world, meaning it's better in this world than the next world. Amr Rebbe Ami, Midvarav Shel Berebi, from the words of Berebi, Rebbe means is the Gadol, so he means Rebbe Yossi. In other words, Nomod, Ketana Choletz et B'Pavutot. So again, Rebbe Yossi says a Ketana could do Chalitza. So what does it mean, Ketana? So he says B'Pavutot. Pavutot is, like the Gemara learns, that when it comes to Mecca, Kolmimkar, we're coming more Metakein, that Ketanim have Mecca Chomimkar when they get to the age of Pautot. Age Pautot is 6 or 7. Rav Amar, Shila Ona Nadarim. Rav says so she gets the age in Nadarim, which is a year before 12. And it was a year before you're a Gadol or Gdola, is Ona Nadarim. So when it says Ketana Kedun Chalitza, it means an 11-year-old. Yehilchatoh, Ashtubi Shestei Sa'arot. But notwithstanding the foregoing, the Gemara says the halacha is that she has to be Gadola. So not like Rabbi Yossi. She has to be Gadola to do Chalitza. All right, let me just. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts? Rabbi Yossi is a Tana, so he could do he's his own shito, right? Okay, what's up? Wait, what's our case? Wait. Start again. Tell me the story. Tell me. Right. Well, in other words, the idea is if they want to do Yibam, they'll do Yibam. If they don't want to do Yibam, then she should come forward and do Chalitza. Well, but we need her participation. So she's still locked into the whole situation. Right. But the Rabbi Yossi didn't agree that it was a hegge. In other words, the key is that if she wants to get out of the whole thing, she wants to be done with this whole parsha, can she do it or not? That's the issue. In other words, but I'm saying she doesn't want to be caught betwixt and between, in other words, nowhere. So she's not married and she's not free to go to the world. So she doesn't want to be in that situation. Okay, we got to move forward. Arthur, if you want to join us, we'd love to have you. You know where the Gemaras are. Now, the Gemara says on the third wide line, So now the end of the Mishnah said that according to the Tanakhama, you could do chalitza in the presence of two other people. And then it says chalitza b'shtayim, or rather, Tanakhama says if you do it two or three, and one of them is pasol, so then it's chalitza b'shula. So according to Tanakhama, you need three people. But then Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, and Sanlar are machshir with two. And then the Mishnah says, umasa b'chad shechalitza b'yinol l'beina b'yid asurim. There's an incident with somebody who did chalitza, it sounds like in prison, and he was machshir. So we'll see. We'll see all these cases. So now, the third white line. So chalitza b'shtayim v'chulei. So Amar Rav Yosef bar Menuhin Rav Nachman ain alacha koto azug. So Rav Yosef bar Menuhin says in Rav Nachman, alacha is not like the pair that say you could do chalitza in front of two people. So he says v'ha Amar Rav Nachman chadizim. But Rav Nachman taught me that already once. Like they only teach it to you once. This is the Amar Rav Yosef bar Menuhin. Amar Rav Nachman halacha the bachas chalitza b'shlosha. The halacha is you need chalitza with three. So I have two statements. One is that the halacha is not like the zug that says two, and the other statement is you need three. So tzrichi, I need both statements. Yidmar ha-kamaitiv, the first one is really the last one. So if the last statement, which is you need three people per chalitza, was that the only one? Habmina hanimi l'chachila. I would say l'chachila you should have three. Aval di'eved afilu trei. But di'eved, even two is good. That's what I would think. Hamash malan ein halacha koto azug. So he says the halacha is not like the pair that says that two is good. So I know two is good, bad, even di'eved. Yeshmin in Allah Tozug, and if he only told me that last statement, El Tanakama, the Tanakama says if you did it in front of three or Yotze, Abamina Dievid, I would say three is Bidievid. Abal Khachili by Hamisha. But Khachili you need five. Remember we learned earlier on Kuf Aleph that according to the Ramtana Rabbi Yehuda, you need five. Remember we learned it from Psukim. Remember we had Kanim and Ziknei, and then he came to Beit and Shakul, Tzricha. So I need both statements. Okay, now Master Shakhalsu the Huli. So then the Mishnah says it was an incident with a man and woman did a chalitza in prison, and then Masi Kippur Rebbe Kiva, he was machshir. Now, it's not clear when it says Bebeit Asurim, is Bebeit Asurim qualifying the incident, or is it talking about Rebbe Kiva? In other words, were the man and woman in prison, or was Rebbe Akiva in prison? We know Rebbe Kiva was in prison, like by the Romans, that at a certain point in time. So the Gemara says, Masi Shechalitza B'chulei. So the Gemara says, Beino L'beino Miyadana. So if it's just him and her, who knows about it? How are you going to establish it in court? You need witnesses. So Amar Ben Shmuel, the Edim Ruino told me b'chutz. It means the Edim saw it outside, but the Edim saw it, but they just did it between themselves. Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. Ibayelahu Masish Chaltsu Beinu LeBeinah Ibrai is the incident that they did the chalitza outside the jail. Ubama son Rabbi Akiva Beit Asurim, and Rabbi Akiva was in jail. Is that it? Odilma Masish Chaltsu Beinu LeBeinah Beit Asurim, or maybe they did the chalitza in jail, and then Rabbi Akiva was outside of jail. That's the question. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, the Beit Asurim Hayamase, or the Beit Asurim Hayibamase. So Rav Yehuda says it's both. In other words, in Achinam in the Tanakh Mishnah is somewhat ambiguous that the Yavam and the Yavama were in jail, and Rabbi Akiva was in jail, and the Edom saw it outside the jail, except the Edom who were outside the jail and they saw it. Okay, all right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, now let me see here. I think we covered most of the main items. Okay. Okay, everybody good? Okay, recording.